Good morning, everybody. I know your screen is black and dark and you can hardly see me. I would take you on a walk. I would take you on a walk for our goal. So, the sun's going to come up here soon and you'll be able to see my face a little bit more. But I wanted to talk about, like, how do you get to, to the place that you want to be? Because I would say that, yeah, we still have some goals ahead of us, lots of goals ahead of us, but we've definitely made things happen in our lives. And people ask us all the time, how did you do that? How did you go from living in Idaho where you were cold and your money wasn't where you wanted it to be to then moving to Utah? And then how did you go from moving from Utah all the way to San Diego, which is much different housing market and lots of different weather and a lot of different people? Like, how did you do that? And people ask me that all the time. So I really wanted to take the time to really sort of talk about the process that we went through in order to sort of accomplish that for ourselves. So let's go back and sort of back up a bit. When Eric and I got married, I have an ex-husband and my three big kids are from my first marriage. And so Eric and I got married and we sort of had some thoughts about what we wanted, but we hadn't really discussed leaving Idaho. And so then the first year we were married, we came to San Diego to go to Comic-Con, and he had been before and I'd never been. And so it was kind of this, this funny joke for this Waldorf mom, who knew nothing about comic books and nothing about movies, but I loved him so much, I really just wanted to, share that with him, and sort of be with him. So we came to San Diego, and yeah, I think Comic-Con is awesome. I love Comic-Con. We have a good time every year that we go, but what I fell in love with was San Diego. And he fell in love with San Diego, being here with his family, and sort of, we just decided that, gosh, if any way, someday we'd really like to be here. And that was, let's see, Sam is almost 11, so that was probably about 10 years and, well, no, it was probably almost 11 years ago. So, within that time, we had a lot of upheaval and changes. Changes with custody with my ex-husband. We had to go back and forth. I think we sort of joke that the first 6 years that Eric and I were married, 6 or 8 years, we spent so much money on litigation and lots of back and forth to court stuff. And it just was not where we wanted to be. And we really were struggling with that aspect of things, but other things were going really good. And I bring that up because I want you to know that sometimes you have to sort through some of the muck in order to be next to the shining sun. So that time period was very tumultuous in many ways. But we, like I said, we had some great things. We ran the Beacon program during those years. Our Beacon program was widely successful. And those of you who are members of our Thinking, Feeling, Willing program sort of have the benefit of that, because we have the Beacon program within Mom Lesson 3. And we'll have more of those sorts of things coming up with our Parents Who Thrive website that we're working on. So it laid the foundation for a lot of things. And those years in general laid the foundation for a lot of things. So the questions and the things that I asked of the Lord in my prayers were things like, help me to be able to connect with the people that I work with more. Give me experience. So ladies, don't ever ask for experience unless you're ready for it. Because goodness, did I have experience. I had all these ups and downs and crazy things, but every bit of it sort of built upon what this major goal was for us. And that it allowed us to be able to help people, and in helping people, it allowed our income to increase, and allowing our income to increase, we were able to have options. So we started the Lifetime program. It was after we moved to Utah. So we moved from Idaho to Utah. And again, it came from this place of seeking what else can we do? We'd like to raise our income, because at this point, Eric had left the newspaper. He left the newspaper when Sam was little. So Eric has a degree in film, and he worked out here in Hollywood after college for a while. And he also has a degree in journalism. So when he and I met, he was, there you can see me a little bit more now. When he and I met, he was working as a newspaper reporter in Idaho Falls, or in Rexbury, excuse me, and then later in Idaho Falls. And it just wasn't where he wanted to be. And he had some things come up, and we just really talked about what is it that we want, and that wasn't what he wanted. And so he left his job. Left his job when, right before Sam started to walk, like a week before he started to walk. And he came home to work our business. And we knew then that we really had to make our business strong and viable. So that was our goal, strong and viable. We wanted to be able to support our family. And again, so we had these goals, but these goals came from he and I sitting down together, discussing what we wanted, and then making measurable steps toward that space, and really working to be in alignment with what we believed, what we felt like God and the universe wanted for us. And so how people ask me, how do you know you're in alignment? Well, I really believe that all good things come from God. So when you're in alignment, it feels good. And the fruits of that are good. You know, by your fruits, people will know who you are and what you do. So we've had some people that haven't been kind to us, even within the Waldorf community, but we just keep going straight, keep going, you know, head down, moving along, because we're doing what we feel like we're called to do. And in doing that, and when we stay in alignment, then good things happen for us. And the next step, and the next step. We're always sort of shown what the next step is. But you have to sort of get into that space of believing that you can have what you want. Believing that you can work for what you want. So if you're sort of in a place right now, and you guys are probably going to laugh at me that live in cold weather. I think it's like 58 right now. I have a hat on and a scarf on and a heavy sweatshirt. But it's kind of cold here. So if you believe that you deserve to have something better, then that belief puts you into a different alignment category. So you sort of have to get to that place with your partner and as a family. So we set goals, not just Eric and I together. We set goals as a family. And as a family, we discuss what is it that we want. And this is especially important, I think, as they're older. You know, because you might get a six-year-old that says, I want more Legos. Well, that's a great goal. But how does that work into the bigger family goal? So for us, you know, like I said, we wanted to leave Idaho, go to Utah. We did that. We had all intent of actually staying there and just making San Diego sort of our play place. But there were very many things along the way that kept telling us that that was not the best option for us. That really, in order to feel the fullness of the measure that we'd like, we needed to leave Utah. And so we were in Utah for probably 2 years. And then we had made a plan and a goal to come to San Diego to live. And that plan was sort of put on a fast track 1 year when we came home from Comic-Con. And so with that fast track, we sold everything. We had, my one son stayed in Utah with my ex-husband, but the other children, so there were four of them, and Eric and I, and a cat. And we left Salt Lake City with a 10-foot U-Haul and drove to San Diego. We had gotten rid of just about everything. We kept mattresses, and we had these IKEA shelves called Ivar that are nice because they collapse and come back together. That was pretty much, and our school stuff, things to run our business. That was pretty much what was in the truck. So we came to San Diego with a dream, but also with conviction and knowledge that we were on a path, that we'd been guided. And I happen to believe that if you're guided on a path, God doesn't let you down. You might have bumps. You might have, oh no, did we make the right choice? But with faith and listening, then those choices come to fruition. Okay, so we're almost to where my goal is. It's kind of foggy this morning, and it's loud. So I'm going to walk over here, and then I'm going to turn the camera around so you can see why we wanted to come here. And a lot of you already know this, but this is how we did it. We knew what we wanted. And I'll talk a little bit more about goal setting here in just a second. So, turning the camera around. So there it is. We came to San Diego and we fell in love with not just San Diego, but with Ocean Beach in particular. And there's the Pacific Ocean. If I go out there too much farther, you won't be able to hear me. So, just show it to you. Okay, I'll turn the camera back around. So, you know, we have these goals that we really wanted to obtain, and we were trying to figure out what sort of we would do for that. We made dream boards. Dream boards really worked for us. Worked for us as a family. Gave us a good visual. Gave the children a good visual. The visual was that we would all put together sort of our intention of what we wanted. And we had this, we bought this book of San Diego when we came here to visit one year. And we looked at it every day. We looked at it every day, and it was a picture book. So it was this is where we want to live, this is where we want to be. But at the same time, the key was we had to also be happy where we were. So you can't want a goal and not be happy with where you are. You can be uncomfortable where you are and in that respect not be completely at peace, but you have to find happiness in every space. Otherwise you can't move to the next space. I really believe that we have these experiences for a reason, and we sort of have to sort of learn through them, or we get to continue to learn them. And I wanted to be a quick study. I was like, I'll figure that out. I can be happy in Idaho. And we did. We found very many ways to be happy there. And we were very happy in Utah in many ways. So it was not born out of the idea that we couldn't find happiness, because happiness follows you. So if you don't have happiness where you are, you're not going to have happiness where you're going. So you really want to make sure that you have sort of that in place. Good morning.
Good morning.
So one of the things we wanted when we moved here, we didn't get right away. So we wanted to live right here in Ocean Beach. Oh, do you hear my birds? We have a wild band of parrots, and they love the morning. They're kind of my favorite. They're very beautiful. Anyway, so when we first moved here, we ended up in the middle of the city. We lived there for almost 3 years. And with that, we weren't exactly where we wanted to be, but we were able to really feel the love that we had for the space and really grow there. We were in a stable spot. It allowed our business to grow. You know, yeah, I had a stroke there, but that was very big, very much a catalyst for some other things that came after that. So you have to sort of make this idea, this goal, and then stick with it and do something about it every day. It can't just be written down on a piece of paper. It has to be measurable. So if you're sitting in a situation trying to figure out, how do I get out of this? My husband's in a dead-end job, and I sit at home with these kids, and he's not happy, and I'm not happy. How will we get out of that? Well, first you have to figure out, how do you be happy, even though you have that going on? So you have to find joy in your life. And maybe that joy is going for a walk with your kids. Maybe that joy is just having one family day a week where it's just you guys. That joy can't be in something that you spend money on. because that will set you up for failure. That joy has to be in something that is not financially tied. So figure out what your joy is and then evaluate. I absolutely believe that we all have talents. And you've got a talent that I probably don't have. Like, see, I can't keep a garden alive for anything. Every time I try, Eleanor looks at me, she's like, Mom, I don't know why you're doing that. That's like homicide, you know? You're going to kill a bunch of plants. Like, I'm trying. So that's not my superpower. But maybe it's yours. And maybe you can teach other people how to do that. And yeah, there's a ton of people out there teaching people about gardening. Yeah, but maybe you have an edge to it that they don't have. Maybe there's something that you have that they don't have. There's probably 20 parrots over there singing their morning song. So think about what things that you have, what talents you have that maybe you've not fully discovered. And I think this is really extra hard for men. I think that they, especially when you have a family, I think that they go, oh, but there's security in this dead-end job. So I don't want to leave this dead-end job because there's security in it. And one of the things we always decided from the beginning of our marriage was that we would make choices that were right, even if they didn't feel safe. Having safety and security is great and fine and good, but having happiness and living your life's purpose is better. And so we always try to come from a place of, if everybody thought we were making a crazy decision, then it was probably the right decision. As long as God thought it was a good decision, and we were sort of pushed along by the universe, then it was a good decision. So you can't always listen to man, other people, when it comes to that. So honestly, if we did that, we never would have left Idaho. We would still be there. Gosh, if I went by that, I probably would still be married to my ex-husband and have... Because everybody says, don't do that, it's hard. Well, guess what? Things that are hard, that are worth it, it's okay that it's hard. It's okay that you have some struggle with it. It's okay that you have to work to wrap your mind around it. And there have been many days since we started on this journey that I sat down and I got on my knees and I was like, really? Wow, I didn't think it was going to be this hard. And then... got some inspiration to get up and do something else. And I did. Every single thing that we work on within Waldorf Essentials is inspired in some way. It's inspired in some way. I get on my knees and I say, what do the people that we work for need next? And that's how I got Thrive. Every bit of it laid out right in front of me. That's how I got a bunch of other programs that we're working on for this year. Just laid out piece by piece. So you have to get your mind quiet. And you have to be willing to ask. It's not about what God you talk to. It's just about the fact that you connect. And the act of connecting quiets your mind and separates your thoughts from inspiration. And if you're having a real struggle with that, one of the teachers in Sunday school yesterday said, if you're having a hard time distinguishing your thoughts from God's thoughts, ask God to speak louder. I thought that's brilliant. I've done that before. I just hadn't thought to articulate it. So you just say, please, I'm really having a hard time distinguishing my thoughts from yours. Please inspire me harder. Give me, you know, be louder. And so do those things and get yourself in a good place. Now, if you're in a situation where you have all these goals and dreams, but your partner doesn't, then you gotta sit back and talk to your partner, have a big heart to heart and say, what the heck is going on? Like, we had these big dreams and now they're floating away. I understand that you really want everything to be safe and secure, but we don't want to be in this dead-end job forever. What can we do? What, you know, maybe he's an artist. Maybe he's really good at computers. Maybe, you know, what skill sets do you have? Honestly, I really believe that we are moving away from a society that goes to any big box for anything, and much more so a society that wants coaching, that wants, you know, that wants people to have experience, that wants, you know, to give their money, their energy to somebody who is working hard And so in order to do that, you have to sort of put yourself out there. And it's scary. It's scary. Oh, man. We've been in some scary spots, but always been taken care of. Always. Because we go, oh, man, we're out of alignment. Dang it. How did that happen? Oh, and then we get back in alignment. And you have to get yourself back there, because if you don't, being out of alignment sucks. It doesn't feel good. Things aren't going your way. The lessons ahead of you seem harder. It doesn't mean you're not going to have lessons, life lessons, when you're in alignment, but it means that there'll be a lot easier for you to sort of walk through and work through. And so I want you to keep that in mind. But, if you're somebody who's never set goals before, this is a perfect time to start. And again, it has to be measurable. It has to be a goal that you can say, okay, by this day I want this, by this day I want that. And then you have to work your fanny off to get it. We started some new goal setting last week because we have this major turbocharged goal that we want to accomplish by the middle of May. And I haven't worked this hard in probably ever. And I work really hard for Waldorf Essentials, really hard for our family, really hard for the things that we want. But goodness, we have some big goals, and I have inspiration to work harder to obtain them. And sometimes that doesn't mean like, oh no, I'm burning the candle at both ends and I'm stressed out. What that meant for me was I had to look at my rhythm. And I had to go, okay, if there's some places in here I'm wasting some time. And I need to not waste time. So once I was able to do that, all this time opened up. All the time that I needed last week was there. Every bit of it. And so I know that that will happen for me again this week. If I have the blessing of, I'm going to turn around and go the other direction because cars are that way and it's noisy. but having the blessing of really listening to myself and being honest with myself about, okay, well, this is a behavior I should stop. These are things I can fix. If you're having struggles with being on Facebook too much, turn your notifications off. If your email is out of control, figure that one out. Unsubscribe from some things. Do little things that will help go towards your larger goal. Don't not do them because you go, oh, well, that's not measurable enough. But if your goal is to sort of simplify your living, then you have to simplify everything. And in any little act of taking 10 minutes here and 10 minutes there to unsubscribe from email lists you don't belong on, that goes towards your goal. So it's about sort of making steps that go in that direction. So I hope this is helpful. The sun is up. The parrots seem to be following me with their noise, which I love because they're beautiful. And it's going to be a nice day today, I think. It's a little cloudy right now. I'm hoping that wherever you're waking up this morning, whatever time of the day you're watching this, that you're inspired to start some goals. And I hope you'll tell us about them. And as a choleric, I can work with her in that respect. So if you're not choleric, you may have like some struggles with that, but I absolutely think you can do it. Temperament is not, like goal setting is not predicated on temperament. You just walk forward and you just do it. And you just decide, this is what I want. And the discomfort of not having what I want is stronger than me wanting to sit here and do nothing about it. So I'm hoping that as you're starting this new year, that you've got some goals that aren't just resolutions, that you're actually putting action to. So maybe it's like walking every day or getting up before your kids. Let's recap. If you have goals that you're wanting to set, get them set and then get busy on them. Don't wait for them. It takes the difference between the difference between a goal and a wish is that you actually do something about it. So you actually have to move your body and move your mind and work. And when you do those things, great things happen. So please tell me what your goals are. I'd love to hear about them.